leave some time at the end for additional questions of the panel. And okay, Dr. Florence Tanger is the next presenter.
Thank you for that introduction. Good morning. It is a great pleasure for me to be here to talk about the cost of implementing the CDC's colorectal cancer screening demonstration project. I would like to start by acknowledging the co-authors of this presentation. They include Suja Subramanian from RTI, Sonia Hoover from RTI, and Dr. Laura Seif from the CDC. I also want to acknowledge the opportunity given to us to make this presentation by the session organizers. I do not have any relationships to disclose. What I'm going to be covering over the next 10 minutes, I will start by giving a background of the colorectal cancer disease in terms of burden of the disease. I'll give a brief background about the screening demonstration project. Then I'll quickly go over the goals and objectives of the economic analysis of the project. I will discuss the methods, I'll share some results, and then I will also share our next steps. Cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States. Among cancers that affect both men and women, colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related death. The United States Cancer Statistics 2004 reports about 145,000 new cases and 54,000 deaths from colorectal cancer. The incidence and mortality rates are high for both men and women, and this affects people of all races. The risk of developing colorectal cancer or the risk of dying from this disease increases by age. Despite scientific and cost-effectiveness data supporting screening for colorectal cancer, this figure illustrates that colorectal cancer screening tests are being utilized at rates far lower than other well-accepted screening tests, such as mammography for breast cancer screening and Pap test for cervical cancer screening. Briefly, the background about the project. This project started in 2005, where the Centers for Disease Control Division of Cancer Prevention and Control funded 5 sites for 4 years. The persons who are eligible for this program are those who are between the ages of 50 to 64, who are at average risk for colorectal cancer, who do not have insurance, or whose insurance do not cover colorectal cancer screening, and who are poor, being defined as those who are below the 250% level of poverty. The purpose of the screening demonstration project is to explore the feasibility of implementing a national colorectal cancer program for the underserved population. Evaluation of this project includes economic analysis, which I'm going to be presenting today, a case study, and also analysis of patient-level data. CDC, as I mentioned, funded 5 sites. And from this map, you can see that the programs differ in their geographic service area. The awardees include 2 cities, Baltimore City and St. Louis in Missouri. It includes Suffolk County in New York. It includes 3 counties in Washington State. And it includes the whole state of Nebraska. As shown on this table, the program also differs in their selection of the screening test. Baltimore and New York selected screening colonoscopy, while Missouri, Nebraska, and Washington originally chose FOBT as the primary screening test. About a year ago, Missouri program shifted to a screening colonoscopy program, and the Seattle and the King counties in Washington state added colonoscopy as a screening option. The providers also vary. These include community health centers, hospitals, specialty care clinics, Department of Health, and University Medical Centers. The colorectal cancer screening demonstration program includes 8 components intended to support a comprehensive screening effort. These include management, screening and diagnosis, public education and outreach, quality assurance and improvement, data collection and tracking, patient support or patient navigation, professional education, partnership development and management. Each site is responsible for securing treatment resources for those diagnosed with colorectal cancer through the program because CDC did not have enough funding to cover treatment costs. So what is the overall purpose of the economic analysis? We are trying to understand the cost of establishing a colorectal cancer screening program and also to identify the most cost-effective approach to screen the underserved population. Specifically, we are estimating the startup and the implementation cost of the demonstration project. We are assessing, or we will be assessing where appropriate, the cost-effective approach, and also we will be looking at those factors that impact cost. I will now briefly talk about the methods that we are using to collect and analyze the data. We are collecting cost data for clinical and the non-clinical components of the program using 3 instruments. The first instrument is what we are calling the cost assessment tool. This includes a questionnaire and a user's manual. The cost assessment tool is being administered to collect implementation costs annually. We use an abbreviated version of this tool to collect startup costs. And the startup phase began with the initial program funding in September 2005 and ended when the grantees actually started screening. And this varied across the different sites, ranging from 9 months to 11 months. The second instrument is the clinical service reimbursement tool. We developed a layout and the instruction for collecting information on reimbursement for screening and diagnostic services. The third instrument is a complication form. This form is used to report adverse events and the associated cost. We are using the ingredient approach to collect data on resources spent on different program components. Costs are assigned to 4 budget categories, which include staff salaries, contract expenditures, purchases, and administrative expenditures. In terms of data analysis, we derive activity-based cost by aggregating expenditures for each activity or program component. We aggregate overhead or indirect costs, including expenditures for items such as telecommunications and the rent associated with the screening program. We also estimate the monetary value of all in-kind contributions provided to the program. Now I will briefly share some results. This slide shows the distribution of funds averaged across awardees by funding sources. In-kind contributions were critical during the startup period, and this contributed to about 50% of the resources. Most of the funding for the implementation phase came from the CDC. Looking at the distribution of costs averaged across awardees by budget categories, labor accounted for most of the cost during the startup phase, while screening accounted for most of the cost during the implementation phase. Here, we show distribution of cost average across awardees by program activities. Program management accounted for most of the cost during the startup phase, while screening and diagnostic services accounted for most of the cost during the implementation phase. This slide shows the average cost for the program activities. Focusing on screening and diagnostic services, on average, nearly $277,000 was spent on the provision of screening and diagnostic follow-up services in the implementation phase, which was practically 1 year of the program. This ranged from $133,000 to $444,000. So just to summarize, in-kind contributions accounted for a significant share of the resources during the startup phase. As I mentioned before, this was about 50%. But during the implementation phase, more than 75% of the funding came from the CDC. Screening and diagnostic services accounted for the largest cost by activity during the implementation phase. Our next steps, in January 2009 and 2010, we will have program cost and reimbursement data for years 3 and year 4 of the program. All 4 years of data will be used to perform cost and cost effectiveness analysis. Findings from the various economic analysis of the program will continue to be disseminated via presentations and publications in peer-reviewed journals. These findings can inform planning for future colorectal cancer screening efforts. Again, I would like to thank the persons who participated in the program, those that are being screened, and also the staff in the various sites, for their generous contribution of time and the effort in the collection and provision of the cost data. I also want to acknowledge the other members of the economic team who are not here, whom I mentioned before, Suja and Sonia from RTI International. And also I want to thank the entire evaluation team, and this is made up of 21 members, some from the CDC, some from IMS, and some from RTI. Thank you very much.
Some time for some questions.
Yes.
Is the purpose of the study to determine whether FOBT or colonoscopy is the most suitable for long-term uninterrupted patients, or what's the purpose?
The purpose is to look at the feasibility of having a screening program for the underserved population. And part of the feasibility analysis will look at economic analysis, which will look at that question. But it is to look at what is the most effective way of screening this. And it may not come down to just FOBT or colonoscopy, because if you look at FOBT, it needs to be done every year, which means follow-up cost as well. Colonoscopy is once every 10 years, so we are going to take that into consideration, and we will not be surprised if it shows that colonoscopy is the way to go.
Because several of the sites switched from FOBT to colonoscopy.
Exactly.
Why was that?
I think one of the reasons is because the population or those who are being screened, maybe they heard that the gold standard is colonoscopy. And they were approaching the providers and saying, why are we being offered a second-class test? So the medical advisory board, I think they decided to go over to do colonoscopy. Yes.
I'm from Missouri. I'm not directly involved in this project. I am with Cancer Registry. And another reason was cultural sensitivity.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Among the population,
was
the target population of screening
in the center of
the world. Thank you. But colonoscopy was more acceptable to them, is that?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is the handling of the feces for FOBT.
Thank you.
One thing makes colonoscopy much more acceptable is, and providers frequently do not do this, they still give that 1 gallon sweet tasting goo when there is a better alternative, the 3 ounces of a different goo with two pills. And when patients are informed that they don't have to have that gallon of goo, and when they do it the other way, they are much more accepting of.
I have one other question.
Yes.
I presume that there was some screening going on of these populations already. So do your costs reflect total costs of screening programs or just additional costs above what they were already doing?
No, these are people that are underserved. So data shows that this population generally does not have access
there
to this.
Right,
exactly. So we are focusing on those who do not have insurance or those whose insurance did not cover this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
What did you do with this underinsured and uninsured population when you told somebody they had colon cancer?
Well, fortunately, there have only been a few cases that colon cancer have been diagnosed. And one of the requirements for those who applied was that they needed to secure treatment outside this program. and they were able to get that through other providers. So those were donated services. So those that have been diagnosed with colorectal cancer have all been treated.
It's the same thing we did in our early breast and cervical cancer screening program. When we first started with that program, they also had to seek treatment for any cancers that were detected in that program.
Yes.
Was participation or recruitment was that a difficult? How did you handle recruitment?
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, these five sites, they vary very much. Some built on the existing National Breast and Cervical Cancer that Dinita Dean, my deputy branch chief, mentioned. Thanks for being here, Dinita. And some built on that, and they wanted to do like enrich the women and get the women to bring their husbands. And a program like the one in New York, it's not part of the B and C program. So they have different models of outreach, but it has been a challenge to recruit into this, even in those that have the B and C program. And they are trying to figure out what is the deal, why are they not coming in. Mm-hmm. You had a question.
Yes. Any other question for Roy?
Yes.
Do you know how many were screened in the 275,000 estimate that you provided?
Yeah, I have that number not in this slide, and I can look that up and give that to you.
Two questions.
Yes.
First, the complication rate for colonoscopy is about probably 1 in 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any complications so far in your study?
So far, we've only had serious complication has just been one that was hospitalized and have been successfully treated. Mm-hmm.
And you're accumulating data, I presume, about the diagnoses that are being made.
Exactly.
So you're going to be able to do some cost-benefit analyses.
Yeah, cost-effectiveness analysis at the end of the 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Dr. Arpit Misra has not arrived yet. Okay.